don't want knowing God to turn us into, and being firm on the foundation and knowing that God loves us, to turn into self-confidence. What we're talking about here is confidence in God. Confidence in my relationship with Him, confidence in His steadfastness to me, confidence in His faithfulness to me when I screw up. That's kind of important that we emphasize. We're not talking about self-confidence. In fact, we're talking about the opposite of self-confidence, which is laying down self. Although we have a good internal strength that comes from the confidence in God that is in us, but it's not from us. It's not of us. It's from the Lord. Hi, this is Holly, and welcome to Study with Friends. I'm so excited you're with us today. I'm sitting with my friends Marilyn, Jan, and Viv, and we're unpacking the messages of comfort, caution, and confidence found in the book of Psalms. If you miss any part of this program or you want to hear it again, please visit studywithfriends.org and type Psalms in the search box to hear the entire series and also to download and print all the resources related to this study. In the Psalms, God provides us promises we can take comfort in, assurances that give us confidence, and warnings that should help us be cautious. Like any loving father, He wants us to learn these lessons for our own good. Let's get started. The next section of the homework says, are there any scriptures outside of the Psalms that you think really relate to the passages of Psalms we have chosen for caution? And how does the truth of caution in these passages support truth elsewhere in the Bible and vice versa? So I noted Ephesians 5:15, which says, therefore, be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, because that's a pretty straightforward caution. Some of these are more nuanced and some of them are pretty plain. Plain talker. Like, don't be unwise, be wise. That's a caution. And then I also noted 1 Corinthians 10:12, which says, therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed that he does not fall. And that's a caution against pride. There's a lot of caution. Again, a loving father who doesn't want us to go sideways and screw ourselves up. And there's a lot of ways we can do that. And, you know, he hits them all. So is there more you want to talk about with respect to caution, ladies? Are you ready to move to confidence? All right, then why don't you lead it off, Marilyn?
Oh, me and my big mouth.
Yep, you see?
Well, I chose Psalm 90, verse 1 for confidence. Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations. I once heard a pastor speak on this verse, and he challenged the people that were listening with the question, where do you live? Dwelling is living, is being there. Mm. Where do you live? Do you live with the Lord? And it just has always, when I read this verse, I always think of that. To dwell, just to me, means security, peace, comfort, and that if I'm with Jesus, I can be confident because I'm dwelling with Him. And He's our dwelling place through all generations. He never changes. He never fails. And I just get such confidence from that.
That's really good.
One simple verse.
That is so good. Really good. It says here, a prayer of Moses, the man of God. Did Moses write this psalm?
Guess so.
I didn't know Moses wrote any of the Psalms.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. It says these prayers include a prayer of Moses.
Well, it's funny because was it you, Jan, who used Psalm 90 for a caution?
I think so.
I think so, too, because I made a note of it.
I used it for a caution.
Okay. So your Psalm 90 is my Psalm 139. You come back to it a couple different ways. And that's, you know, we've said it now a few times. That's the nature of the Psalms. They have it's a rich tapestry in each one. I just wrote that in my Bible too, right next to Psalm 90 verse 1, where it says, Lord, you have been our dwelling place throughout all generations. I wrote, where do I live?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's why I've remembered it, because it's written in my Bible.
That's really good. That's good. I'm glad you... So simple. Yeah. And confidence, because no matter where life takes me, if my dwelling place is the Lord, then I can have confidence. That's good. Okay. Who else has a confidence psalm?
Well, I also chose 139 for confidence. Mm-hmm. And I actually taught this from the pulpit, but what I want to talk about today with confidence with Psalms 139 is God's presence, in my P words. So his presence. And it says in Psalm in verse 7, I can never escape from your spirit. I can never get away from your presence. If I go up to heaven, you are there. If I go down to the grave, you are there. If I ride the wings of the morning, if I dwell by the farthest oceans, even there your hand will guide me and your strength will support me. I could ask the darkness to hide me and the light around me to become night. But even in darkness, I cannot hide from you. To you, the night shines as bright as day. Darkness and light are the same to you. You made all the delicate inner parts of my body and knit me together in my mother's womb. Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. Your workmanship is marvelous. How well I know it. I love the King James where it says, I'm wonderfully and awesomely made. That's the only thing when some of the translations, when you've heard it a different way, the King James is so beautiful. But the confidence that I get is the presence of God, that he will never, ever leave me. I remember being on a cruise on the way to the Bahamas in the middle of the ocean. My husband and I were, I don't even know what nautical west or east or whatever we were. And the Lord woke me up and called me by name, woke me up to pray. And I was like, wow. And that just brought into mind, I was upset over the fact that you woke me up out of my sleep. And they dawned on me, God called me by name and knew where I was. I went off when that part just soaked in for a minute. But presence, that confidence that he dwells inside. He is with me all the time. He sees, he hears, and he feels what I feel. I'm crucified with Christ, therefore not I that live, but Christ that lives within me. Awesome. So presence, the confidence of God's presence is what I get from Psalms 139.
That's good. How about you, Jan?
I'm going to steal back 139.
I love it. You're not, all you're doing is edifying my choice of that as an awesome song.
Only for a minute, I kind of paired it up with 71, Psalm 71, 5 to 8. I read that and then read Psalm 139, 13 to 16. And in both passages, it seems to talk about a confidence that you get from knowing God all your life, even from the womb. Psalm 71, 5 to 8 reads, for you have been my hope, O sovereign God, my confidence since my youth, from birth. I have relied on you. You brought me forth from my mother's womb. I will ever praise you. I have become like a portent to many. But you are my strong refuge. My mouth is filled with your praise, declaring your splendor all day long. So it's sounding like I have known you and I love you.
Mm.
And then, of course, 139, 13 to 16. For you created my inmost beings. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well.
Mm-hmm.
And it just go, I won't, well, my frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. So this knowing, they both sound like this knowing him.
Mm-hmm. And being known.
And from that, I get confidence.
Yeah. Did you guys notice that some of the same psalms that gave you comfort also gave you confidence?
Yeah. Yes.
Talk a little bit about that. Tell me a little bit about that. Let's play that, explain that out. Like, why does it work that way?
Our comfort comes from knowing that God is in control and that He is our rock, and that He doesn't change. That gives me the ability to not only be comforted, but to be confident. I know He's there for me. Therefore, if He asks me to do something, I know He's not going to just abandon me.
Mm-hmm.
If I am in a situation where I need help or I'm anxious, I can take comfort in it, in His love and His faithfulness, but I can also take confidence in the fact that, hey, if God is for me, who can be against mm-hmm. me?
So do you think it's a B follows A? Like, you know, does comfort come first and then confidence? Like,
I think when you're comforted, like when you think about your parents, when I think about my parents, and I think that's all a template of, right, how you become a more confident kid
mm-hmm.
when you have a certainty about your home life.
Yep.
You're comforted by your home life. So if you're comforted by knowing your God and knowing what He is and what He is to you and how He feels about you, and He thinks you're the apple of His eye and blah, blah, blah,
mm-hmm.
how can you not be confident?
Mm-hmm.
But the comfort, I think, to answer your question, I think the comfort comes first.
Mm-hmm. I do too. And the knowledge of being known and loved anyway gives you confidence. But let's not walk forward too deep into self-confidence,
right?
Because we don't want knowing God to turn us into, and being firm on the foundation and knowing that God loves us to turn into self-confidence. What we're talking about here is confidence in God, confidence in my relationship with Him, confidence in His steadfastness to me, confidence in His faithfulness to me when I screw up. That's kind of important that we mm-hmm. emphasize. We're not talking about self-confidence. In fact, we're talking about the opposite of self-confidence, which is laying down self. As I said earlier, I should know that He will fight my battles for me. It's not for me to go running up to that battle line and flinging around. I'm a flea compared to what He can do.
Right.
And so it's not self-confidence. Although we have a good internal strength that comes from the confidence in God that is in us, but it's not from us. It's not of us, it's from the Lord. You look like you wanted to say something about that.
I just wanted to add that we are accepted by Christ and completed in God. And that's where our confidence comes from. Because when we are confident that He has accepted us, even with all of our faults and our, you know, sins and all our shortcomings, He accepted us when we were grafted in. He knew before we were even formed in our mother's wombs, back when He went to the cross and died for us, that we were going to do what we did. And He did it anyway. He still died for us. So with that confidence that we have been accepted by God, then the love that we should have for Him should even be even more, because He knew what we're going to do before we did it, and He still loved us mm-hmm. and died for us.
Mm-hmm.
So that confidence, I am accepted by God. I am loved by God. He died for me. That gives me comfort.
Mm.
That it doesn't matter what goes on, my confidence will always be up here. Because the Creator of the universe knows me by name. Hallelujah. And has gone to prepare a place for me, that wherever He is, I can be there also. And that I'll have a glorified body. Just like His.
Yeah. You know what? You're hitting a note that I have really been meditating on lately, which is how we as a culture and even as Christians don't always live in the confidence of our eternal salvation. Now, we talk about it. We talk at it. We talk about, I've been saved from this. I've been saved from that. He delivered me from this, and I confess my sins, and he's faithful to me. But we don't talk as much as we used to about the confidence of where we will be when this life is over. We don't talk a lot about that. But you hit it, and since you did, I'm going to expand on it, because how different and radical would our lives be even as Christians, let alone people who don't know the Lord, but how different our lives would be if we really were living in the light of eternity every day. Mm. What seems important is not important. What we overlook and call unimportant is quite important. A friend, a family member you spend time with, have you delivered the gospel to them? Will you see them again? I have cousins. My husband and I have a relationship with cousins in Slovenia. We spent time with them last year. They spent time with us here in the summer. And it was on my heart. Eternity was on my heart in both scenarios. And I felt convicted. This isn't because I'm living in the light of eternity all the time. It's not. It's because the Holy Spirit convicted me when I was with them. I don't know if I'm going to see them again. And if I don't deliver the gospel before I get on that plane, shame on me. That is not me living in light of eternity. That's me just coming on vacation, which is good. I'm not saying don't go on vacation. Go on vacation. But if you have an opportunity to impact someone's eternity when you're on vacation, you better be about it. And because that's a 2-week vacation. In the light of eternity, it's meaningless, except if words that I said or a seed that I planted created eternity in someone else's heart, in their family, and what springs forth from that family if they become eternally minded. So, you know, I did. And sometimes that's uncomfortable because, you know, I'm not going to get too deep into it, because I actually, anecdotally, when they sat down with us and I had their girls with us for a while, they left. The parents blessed me by leaving the girls with me for about a month. So I had their three and my two, and it was a party every day. I loved every single minute of it. And the night before the girls left, there was an opening. And I had been thinking about it. I was like, how do I? And I was like, God, I just need you to show me an opening. And they randomly asked us a question about our church, which we had taken them to church, very different from their church. And they, you know, they profess to be somewhat atheists. Like they attend church because they think it's whatever. I'm not going to get into it. So I was like, okay, here's the opening. And so it was a 2-hour conversation. And I was like, well, let me explain to you what we believe. And the reason I'm not going to get too deep into their business is because I said, you know, the internet is a great thing. And there's a podcast I can recommend to you that you can get in Slovenia. It's called Study with Friends. And please listen to us. And then if you're interested in what I really believe and what my family believes, because we love them. You know, this is a whole nother tangent about how someone needs to feel your love before they hear, you know, your finger wagging. Mm-hmm. So because we loved them, they were interested in the things that are meaningful to us. And so I did recommend that they listen to the material that we've put here, because we have hours and hours and hours of material on the website. I didn't have that kind of time with them, but I can send them with that. And what you just said, having the confidence of my eternal salvation, that's a game changer. And I got to say, as a criticism, and I look first to myself, and then even to the culture of our church, we don't hear it from the pulpit as much as we used to. We don't talk about it in our little coffee circles as much as we used to. We're not talking about eternity. We're not talking about salvation. We're not talking about damnation. It's just not something we talk about anymore. And that shakes the confidence of anybody if you're not sure what's going to happen to you next. I mean, think about the most fundamental anxiety driving circumstances is you're not sure what's going to happen next. So isn't your eternal dwelling place? I mean, how are we not all just delivering that day in and day out? We're just not. And I believe that that's the enemy who's come in like a thief in the night, and even into our Christian communities, and said, don't worry about talking about that so much. But there is a confidence in our eternal salvation that is the foundation. Of course, these are confidences as we live out our time here, how we live and how we walk and how we interact and relationally, how we get along in life with others and with God. There's a lot of confidence to be understood from the Psalms and the rest of the Bible too, for the living out of this life, but let's not skip over the confidence that comes from our eternal knowledge of our glorified body and our existence and our presence with the Lord. We talk about you were talking earlier about how his presence is with me and I dwell with him here. How much more exponentially amazing is that going to be when I dwell with him there? So the confidence of my eternal, I'm sure of my eternity. And that's, you know, isn't confidence and comfort the opposite of anxiety?
I think the two of you have brought up a good point about confidence, and I'm in my head making a distinction between our earthly kind of confidence and the heavenly confidence, or the spiritual confidence you're talking about. So if, and maybe that's why we don't talk about it as much as we should, because if we do, we're going to displace this kind of earthly confidence that we have. Because it really doesn't amount to anything.
Right.
And we have to look at our spirit confidence. So.
Yeah, that's unsettling.
The enemy would have us
it's
not
unsettling.
Talk about
yeah.
it at all.
What she's saying is we don't want to poke. So if I can interpret what you're saying, especially in our culture, Americans are so individualistic. We're bootstraps people. We want to stand on our own two feet, have our own confidence. Self-confidence is like a whole section in the bookstore. So what she's saying is we don't talk about it because the rise of self-confidence, self-esteem has created the decline of confidence in God and esteem of the Lord.
Right.
Is that what you're
right.
saying? Right. Yeah, and so we don't want to push back culturally on what has built up around us, which is the mindset of the self, so much more exponentially, even just in the last few years.
Yes.
Your identity is your political position. Your identity is your sexuality. Mm-hmm. These are so self-driven. It's all about me. And it has created a antagonism with the esteem of the Lord and the confidence in the Lord. If I place my confidence in God, if I esteem him outside of myself, is that a reflection of my own self-esteem? Hi, it's Holly again. I'm so thankful for the ways God's word helps me to know him and know myself better. I hope you felt that gift during your time with us today. We're a weekly Bible study, just like you find at your local church. If you're not involved in a study like this, please find one. Make sure the church is teaching the Bible every week and in every situation. In Matthew 10, as Jesus was sending out his disciples to preach the word, he instructed them with this command, "Freely you have received, freely give." We think that applies to us too. So we've created many resources for you on our website, studywithfriends.org. If you missed any part of this program or you want to hear it again, you can visit us there to listen free and on demand. Or you can look for other Bible studies, all of which are free to use and print, studywithfriends.org. Just like those disciples who relied on the generosity of a host for food and shelter, we are also 100% donor supported. So if you are particularly blessed by one of the resources we work hard to provide, please consider a donation of any amount. A monthly partnership is especially helpful, and no amount is too small. Let me say that again. No amount is too small. This month, we're hoping to gather 10 new monthly donors. You can donate one time or become a monthly partner at studywithfriends.org/donate. That's studywithfriends.org/donate. We also love to hear from you via email at info@studywithfriends.org. That's always a huge encouragement to us, so please don't hesitate to write if you have the inclination. See you next time we study with friends.